What you desire for us to look at tonight, be magnified and glorified in our midst. And we just pray for health, strength, increase, and revelation of it all. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. Well, last week we were talking about a number of things. And primarily, we were looking all the way back to Genesis, creation, the beginning, and the heart of God in it all. And his heart is for us, amen? Hopefully we saw how much he loves us and how he had things in mind and how he predetermined all these things so that we could walk in the benefits of a relationship with him and the provision that he has for us. Amen. And we began to look at, we know that in 1 John 4:8, it declares that God is love. God doesn't just love, but he is love. Amen. So the fullness of who he is maximum love that you can imagine. Ever felt loved? I mean, where you just knew you were loved, whether it was by God or by human, but you knew that love. You had no doubt about that love. Amen? There was no confusion to you. There was no, you just felt secure in that love. Well, that's what our God wants for us. Amen. For us to be totally secure in his love and his desire to walk with us in a way that we know him better and better and better. We know his heart. We know his plans. Amen. That he's not withholding anything from us. He wants to reveal it to us, that we're walking in a day and an hour where it is a time for revelation to come forth. Amen. That he is unveiling to us. There is a spirit of revelation in this earth now for us to walk out the fullness and the plan and the purposes. The days are short, and he wants us to know some things. Amen. He wants us to know him, his love for us, how valuable and precious we are. And if we ever question those things, then we question the ability of God being able to minister life in light and love and health and strength and provision for us. We just come into a place where we just, well, I don't know. I don't know if God will do it for me. I don't know if he really loves me. I don't know if he'll withhold it from me. And some of that comes from the way we've been raised. Some of that comes from a lot of self-negative talk. And comes from a place of just doubting the goodness of God, that God could really love me. Ever been there? My goodness, I walked that out for years where I just, can God really love me like that? I heard it, you know, and it made sense that he gave his all, he shed his blood, he laid his life down so I could be in communion with him. But then somewhere in the back of my mind, that was that nagging. Yeah, but, you know, not for you. You know, where there's that question mark. Well, yeah, I can see he did it for somebody else, but, you know, you're really not that special. Well, that's a lie from the pit of hell. Amen. You need to recognize thoughts like that are not from God. They're not from God, and those are meant to undermine your faith and confidence in who your God is. And why is that important? This is faith and healing school. You can apply these truths and principles to every aspect where you apply faith. Amen. And the bottom line is we need to know who our God is. They that know their God will be strong and do great exploits. Amen. Well, how is that? Because there's a confidence that rises up in you that you can't be shaken from. You're not going to be thrown off course. Why? Because you know God. You know he's faithful. You know he watches over his word to perform it. You don't have any doubt or any question about his goodness towards you. Amen. And so we need to understand when we just, sometimes we throw out a term, well, God's got a mercy. God's got a compassion. We started in on that last week, looking at mercy and compassion. Yeah, God, yeah. What does that mean? What does that mean? Amen. If he's a God of mercy, then what's the deal? We deserve some sort of judgment, and he's withholding it. Amen? He's holding it back. And he has done that, hasn't he? He withheld our penalty. He put it upon Jesus. Jesus paid the price. Jesus took it all so that we wouldn't have to bear it. Amen? Why? Because he so wanted to be in communion with us. He so wanted to walk out this relationship with us. To him, it was worth it. Amen. Even though the Father and Son had never, ever, even in the slightest, been separated in any form or fashion. Never, never in their relationship been separated. When Jesus was saying, can't this cup pass from me? What was it? What was it that he was looking at but the separation? He'd never been apart from the Father. And the Father could not embrace sin in any way. So he had to turn his back when Jesus, it says he became sin for us. When he bore that sin, when he became sin, when he took that upon himself in our place, the Father could no longer embrace the Son. He had to separate himself from that. That's the price he paid. That was the biggest thing that Jesus gave, was a separation from God, the Father. He says, they're worth it. They're worth it. I'll do it. I'll go. I'll pay the price. Amen. We read about how he suffered in his body and all that he did, but that was the greatest thing that he bore. Amen. He loves us. So if he's not going to withhold his own Son from us, why would he withhold any other thing from us? He's not going to do it. Amen. He's made provision for us. That banquet table has been set. It's been spread out. It's in the presence of our enemies, therefore it cannot be in heaven. It has to be here on this earth because we don't have enemies in heaven. So if it's in the presence of our enemies and that table's been set, what's on that table? Our healing bread's on that table. Remember the woman with the daughter that was demon-possessed? And even if a few crumbs fall from the table, amen. We might be dogs, might be Samaritans, we might be dogs, but even the dogs get a few crumbs off the ground, right? We might not be right in the lineage, right in the line to get the blessings and benefits. Amen. But what? We at least qualify as dogs, and we can slurp up what's dropped on the floor. Amen. What did he say to her? She had great faith. She was a foreigner. Amen. She wasn't even in on the covenant, but she had faith that the little bit, even a crumb from the hand of God presenting healing, if she partook of that, she could have it. Amen. And yet we're in a covenant where he's cut it and laid it out for all of us to partake of whenever we have need of it, whenever we desire it, that you can come boldly to the throne of grace, God's ability, amen, God's anointing, whenever you have need of what he's provided for you. Amen. What do you have need of? Amen. Amen. A lot of us, well, just give me a little crumb. I don't deserve the whole. We got to get rid of that thinking too. Amen. Because he's provided the whole. Amen. He put that whole enchilada out on the table. Amen. It's laid out there for us. Amen. So we can go partake of it whenever we desire. Amen. What do you have need of? Wisdom? James clearly, hey, if you lack it, ask for it. And he'll give it. He'll not uphold it. He'll not hold it back from you in any way. He's going to give it to you liberally. But you're to ask in faith. See, there's a God side to this and there's a man side to this. And God's side has provided everything we have need of pertaining to life and godliness. Everything. That means he's not withheld anything. He's not, you know, holding things back behind his back. There's no surprises for later. Amen. He's laid it all out. He's delivered it unto us. And now it's up to us to partake of it. And we partake of it by faith. How do we do that? It sounds too simple. How did you get saved? Did you jump through 32 hoops, do a cartwheel, sprint down the aisle, lay on your face and weep and wail for 20 minutes, cry and repent for every sin you ever imagined doing? How did you get saved? Believed in your and confessed with your what? That he is Lord, that he's paid the price, that he's on the throne, that you accept him as your Savior and your deliverer, your healer, your provider, your all in all. Amen? You've accepted what he's done, and because you believed it and you accepted it, then you have salvation. Same thing, believe in for every aspect of who he is, who he's declared himself to be. Is he your provider? He's Jehovah Jireh. Hallelujah. So how do we partake of that? Believe in our and confess with our Christ Jesus as provider. Amen. How about for healing? Is he Jehovah Rapha? Is he really? Then how do we receive that? Believe in our and confess with our Christ Jesus as going to be healer? He is the healer. He is the provider. He is the deliverer. He is what he says he is. He says, I am that I am. They ask who sent me, what did he say? Say, I am. I am what? The big, huge, giant, blank check. Wouldn't you love to have just the wealthiest man's checkbook? Wouldn't that be fun? Man, I can think of about 1,000 ministries. I would have a blast. Wouldn't that be great? Go in and, oh, I'd love it, love it, love it, love it. Amen. Well, I'm believing and I'm seeing increase and I'm being able to give more. Amen. So we just start where we're at. I don't have the biggest man's checkbook, but I can tap into his by my faith. And as I give, then it's given unto me, and then I can give even more. Amen? That's just God's way of doing things. And it's fun. It's more blessed to give than receive. Why? It is a blast. Amen. Amen. You can get excited about giving. I remember very, very, very first time that we committed into giving, committed to tithing. What is tithing? It's the first tenth of your, what God gives you. We did not have it. We had three children at home. How many know you got to feed your kids or you go to jail? Right? I mean, that's America, you know? It just makes sense. And I looked at the bills. I believe in paying your bills. I think if you're not paying your bills, there's a problem. We need to be faithful. If we put our word out there that we take out a loan, then we need to be faithful to pay that loan. It's not just our name we're signing. If we're a Christian, then we're signing Christ's name. If they know you're a Christian, it's not just your name. Amen? Amen. You guys with me? So we're representing Christ in all of this. So I believe you pay your bills. So we took the tithe out. We wrote that check out first. We paid the bills. There was no money left for groceries. Hallelujah. You know, sometimes that's the situation you're in. When you're out there just sitting on the limb. Amen. And either God's going to hold you up or he's not. But there's times when you have to take a stand and see that he's faithful to his end of the deal. He's faithful to hold you up, especially in this area of giving. I don't know why we're over in this area, but it's just one we're touching on. So somebody needs it. Amen. So, hallelujah, he's faithful. So we wrote everything out. We had nothing left for food. So it was a little scary to me. And we didn't tell anybody. Gosh, I don't have any grocery money. You know what mooch faith is? You ever heard of mooch faith? Oh, man, sister, can you just pray with me? I just don't have any groceries this week. Will you pray and just say it loud enough so the guy in the next aisle can hear it too? Sister, just pray with me. Believe God with me so that we have enough food to make it this week. Would you please? Who is that for?
The guy in back here.
Yeah. And maybe this one too. Maybe compassion will run off on that one too, right? That's not faith. Amen? God can hear you. Amen. Right where you're at. It's a little scary sometimes, but he does. So, what was the deal? We went, put the tithe in the offering for the very first time. Glory to God. And I'm telling you, we had two invites that day to dinner. Throughout the week. Well, we went over to someone's house for dinner and they sent leftovers home. Guess what? There's another meal. My neighbor came by and said, I bought too much milk this week. It's going to go to waste. Can you use a gallon of milk? Hallelujah. Amen. Just every time I turned around, somebody had some extra eggs. They were, you know, homegrown eggs, whatever they're called. And they brought some over because they had too much of that. You know, it's just like it just came in, just a little here and a little there. And, you know, at the end of the week, I had more in my refrigerator at the end of the week than I did at the beginning of the week. And I never went to the store one time. We never missed a meal. It was good. Amen. That was a step of faith. This is the area, the only area that God says, test me. Prove me in this. That's a big area. Amen. But it's cool. And I'll tell you, he's always come through. There's been times when it didn't look like he came through. Hallelujah. What do I mean by that? There were a couple years where we weren't getting paychecks. Oh, fun. Now you find out, are you really living by faith or not? Amen. Well, how can you not get paycheck and be living by faith? The devil challenged me on that and took me out on that concept. Seriously, I stumbled over that. And I thought, well, if I really had faith, I'd be getting the paychecks. But I'll tell you what. Pastor Gary and I both had paychecks coming in. And we had some coming in, but not everything that we were used to. So we weren't totally destitute. We had some coming in. But I tell you what, there was not one time where we didn't tithe. There was not one time where we were late on a bill. Amen. I'm talking a couple years. Amen. It came through every single time. Amen. Well, I don't know about you, but that's shouting ground. Amen. You can get excited about things like that because what does that say about our God? He watches over his word. And he says, prove me in this. What? Prove me what? That you give, it'll be given unto you. How's that work? You don't manipulate and twist people's arms, get up and cry and bellyache. Amen? Just let the, with the church, we just let the need be known. We didn't let it be known for years. We wouldn't say anything. We just, but that's kind of foolish. Amen. So now we just, okay, this is what we need. But we're not twisting arms. Amen. In our own lives, we're not twisting arms. What are we doing? We're believing God. Why? Because God said something about himself. And we can trust what he says about himself. God is faithful. God is not a man that he can lie. And what we are doing here, this is what all of our faith is built around, is the character of God. He says he's your provider. He says he's your healer. He says he's your savior. He says he's your deliverer. Then let's act like it. Let's just believe God. No, he's not going to bless me. He's not going to heal me. Why not? What makes you a special case? Out of all the millions of people that have come and gone, what makes you think that God wouldn't bless you, that you're the one and only that God won't bless? That's the devil lying to you. We don't qualify, any of us, we do not qualify because we're so wonderful. Amen. We qualify by the blood that was shed on our behalf. So we can just say, thank you, Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Lord God, you're so faithful. Amen. Full of mercy, full of compassion, withholding what we deserve and giving us what we don't deserve. Why? Because he's God. Because he is love. Because he cares intimately about you and intimately about me. Amen. This is good news, guys. Amen. Because if we go through life always trying to push the buttons, 1, 2, 3, and pull the lever and see the prize pop out, thinking that's how God works, that it's a matter of mechanics, and if we do step A, B, C, we'll get D, we're going to miss something here. God has never been after religious mechanics. He's always been after intimate relationship. Amen. And that's why I took us back all the way into Genesis last week, so we can look and see, why are we here? Amen. He created us for intimacy. Not just to dump some load in your ear and then walk off, but just... There's a couple different visions people have had, dreams, different things like that, that have encouraged me over the years, where they saw me walking down this path with Jesus putting his arm around me and talking to me, looking at me, and giving me information and or communing back and forth. That's a great picture. And that is exactly what he wants for all of us. Amen. Now, and most of us, when we hit a rough spot, when there's something, when the enemy's attacked, or we've opened the door, whatever is going on, we're bawling and squalling and crying and yelling. Typically, that's the route we go. And we should just say, okay, Jesus, I know you paid the price for this one too. And if there's some reason that the door has been open to the enemy, it doesn't mean you sit there and beat yourself up. Because we've all done that. Amen? We've all made mistakes. We've all opened the door to the enemy at some point in life, where God's speaking to us to move forward, and we're like Jonah. We not just move back, but we run over to the other side of the country. It's not a good idea. Amen? So what do? When we get it, we just say, okay, God, I am sorry. I want to get it right. I want to walk right with you. I want to hear. I want to be sensitive. Amen. There's a word that just came out a couple weeks ago over me, and it's a time that I have to hone my ear to hear what the Spirit of God's saying, or I'm going to be pulled every which way, but where God wants. And you know, God has plans for each one of us. And the enemy's going to try to get you off onto a track, off in a whole different direction than what God has planned. We can't afford. The days are short. Amen. The end is close. And we don't want to misstep. We don't want to lose time. There's people at every hand that God is ordaining and orchestrating that they come across our path, putting us in place. You've got something. I've got something to give. There's something in us. There's an anointing. There's wisdom. There's love. There's something on the inside of you and me. And that for the person we're going to come across in contact, if we're hearing from God, if we're listening to God, you're not going to go through your whole day totally unused of God. You might not be aware of what it was for, but let me tell you, if you're walking in love, you wouldn't believe how many times you're just not even aware of what's going on. I've heard a couple times about people that were going through a tough time. And Christine came up and hugged them and loved on them. And they mentioned that put them over. It helped them. Amen. Amen. Or different songs that have been sung, that it was exactly what they needed. Amen. Well, somebody's got to hear what to sing that day. Amen. Somebody, they've got to work together to move in that grace and that anointing together. I mean, it takes you working with a bunch of people. That's a lot of people. Amen. It's one thing when you're alone. It's another when you're in a group. But everywhere we go, at the store, at the workplace, in our neighborhood, with our family events. Amen. We're carrying grace. How am I getting off on all this? I have no earthly idea. But one thing I know is that I really feel like that needs to come across is we have to understand who our God is and what this thing is all about. Then it's easy to believe. And we're not going about it religiously, mechanically, trying to make it happen. My God loves me. He wants my eyes whole. He wants my bones proper. He doesn't want pain in my body. He doesn't want me unable to make decisions because I'm confused about so much stuff going on. He doesn't want me to feel pressured and stressed. He wants me to live in a place of peace. Amen. And to walk this thing out confidently. Amen. With freedom and liberty. To have the resources I need when I have to do the things I need to do. Amen. To use the wisdom He gives me. So I know I'm not trying to, what do I do now? What do I do now? What do I do now? Amen. But He is our God, full of grace and wisdom, that He's not kept to Himself, but He gives it liberally so that we all can partake of it whenever. Don't you love it? Whenever you want, whenever you need. The promises of God, almost all of them, are all-inclusive. To whomsoever, whatsoever. I like words like that. Amen. That means I'm not left out of the game here. Amen. Why? Because he cares about you. Cast the whole of your care upon him. Why? Because he cares. Because you can have confidence that you don't. I don't have to worry and stress about this thing. Lord, I'm giving it to you. Here, take it. I'm not gonna stress. You're gonna lead me and direct me into truth and righteousness. I'll know what to do, and I'm not even gonna worry. You're gonna work it out. Amen. Otherwise, we get in there and we start manipulating people and trying to work the thing out and hurt each other in the process, trying to make things happen. When it comes to people, you're out of luck. Hallelujah. When it comes to people, we have to trust God for the Holy Spirit to speak to them and to change hearts, to heal wounds. Amen. To open doors that have been shut. Amen. Aren't you excited about that one? I can see you all are just glowing. Hallelujah. Amen. But it's true. I've stomped and thrown a few fits in my life, and I've prayed secretly. And I tell you what, allowing the Holy Ghost to work, so much better. People don't like to feel manipulated. And manipulation is a form of witchcraft. It's one spirit being trying to control another spirit being. And it's a form of witchcraft. And some people are forever trying to figure out how to get them to move and to act and to respond. And they're trying to manipulate them to get their way. It's not right. It's not right. Withholding things from one another. It's not right. Amen. Wow. Is this healing school? Amen. It is, because we're a whole being, spirit, soul, and body. And beloved, I pray above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. So if on the inside, soulically, we're not prospering, we're going to be a mess physically. If we're in a relationship where we don't feel loved, and we're in a relationship where we do feel pressured and manipulated, there's all sorts of soulical issues there going on. And they have to be dealt with. Amen. That's why it's so important to find out who we are in Christ and rest in the confidence that you're his beloved. And from that point on, we move up. Amen. It's a difficult thing to make that transformation for some. Some, it's quick. It's just a quick break. And for some, it's tedious and forever. But when you realize your value and your worth is in what he's paid for you, that you are the most valuable and precious commodity on this earth. Why? Because you're so gorgeous? Because you're so intelligent? Because you're so talented? What makes you so precious? The price paid for you. Amen. The price. And he spared nothing for your expense. He spent it all. He gave it all. Says you're worth it. You're valuable. You're precious. So when we begin to see that as truth, I know when I first started hearing it, it was words. It didn't come to me as truth. It was just, okay, I hear that. But I didn't hear that. You know what I'm saying? They were words that fell on deaf ears. They didn't deposit in my heart because my heart was hard in that area. I'd been deceived and lied to my whole life and said, there's no value or worth to you whatsoever. So it took a while for me to see the picture that God paints in the Word that says, you are precious and you are valuable. And I ain't lying. Amen? When you're first coming out of stuff like that, you can hear a compliment. I remember a few times somebody would give me a compliment. And I said, what? And it was like I heard it, but I didn't hear it. And I wanted to hear it again, but I wasn't sure what I heard. What? It threw me so much because I couldn't believe positive words were coming my way. It was foreign to me, and it took a while to digest that. But then my worth can't be on the words of a man or a woman. You know what I'm saying? My worth, because the next person that comes along, you know, if I went on what I'm told or have been told throughout the years, I mean, I've had people get up and walk out when I'm preaching because I'm a woman. That's real exciting when you're preaching. That's a real boost of encouragement. Amen. There's a real challenge to your faith. Amen. But there's things that people will say and they don't like or, you know, whatever. And they let you know it. Well, one person can come and say, you are the best thing since sliced bread. And the next person in line can say, that is just disgusting the way you present. What do you do with that? If you're going on what man says, you're in trouble. Amen. So what do we got to go on? What does God say? God says you're valuable. You're precious. You are anointed of me. There is a purpose and a plan that's designated for your life. You have the wisdom of God in you. Amen. You have joy and peace and strength. You are empowered by the Holy Ghost. We have to get in agreement with what His Word says. And sometimes when we hear it, we have to repeat it. Just like, what? What'd you say? Sometimes it doesn't register. What is confession so important? It's not, by Jesus' stripes I'm healed. Or, I have an anointing of the Holy One. I have an anointing of the Holy One. I have an anointing of the Holy One. And we say it 47 times and bingo. Oh, there's the anointing. What is confession for? It's getting your heart, your mind in agreement. It's lining it up so you believe what God's Word says. I am anointed. Do you ever sing a song? Why do we sing songs sometimes 20 times? Do you ever wonder? Sometimes the Holy Ghost will just keep them on it and keep them on it and keep it on it. And it's like, wow, we've been on this one for a long time. Why? And then all of a sudden, there's a breakthrough. All of a sudden, people start getting what they're saying. They've been singing it for 5 minutes and their heart has not connected to it. And all of a sudden, oh, wow. They begin, the heart connects and they begin. And once they begin, they're enlightened and they make way for the Holy Ghost. He comes in and boom, Well, he's always been there. It's not that he's come in afresh. It's we've given him place. Amen? We're in agreement with what he's inspiring us to sing. We finally caught on. Amen. And then he manifests. But why didn't it happen the first time? Oh, we're still thinking about, you know, the fight on the way to church, or, you know, I still got to go to the bathroom, and I don't know if I'll have time to get that roast in the oven when we get home, and you know what I mean? There's all these little thoughts that come and try to pull us away from what's really important. Yay. So, I don't even know where I digressed on that one. What are we after? Love and compassion of God. Amen. The mercy of God. I think we left off where we talked about, what was it? Mark 1, verse 40 and 41 was where we left off last time. And we said that there's two things that we have to know. Mark 1, 40 and 41 says this, a leper came to him, imploring him, kneeling down to him, and saying to him, if you are willing, you can make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion, stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, I am willing, and be cleansed. Amen. Well, I said there's two things. We have to know he's willing and he's able. If we have a question about the willingness of God, does he want you whole? Does he want you strong? Does he want you prospering? Does he? Is he willing? Because if you have a question in your mind about whether God is willing, this leper questioned him. He didn't know. How does it say it here? If you are willing, you can make me clean. So he knew he was able. He could if he wanted to, but he wasn't convinced that he wanted to, that it was his will to bring that through to him. We have to settle that. Is he willing for you? Does he love you? Does he care about every aspect of your life? Does he care about your children or your grandchildren? Does he care about your car or your home? Does it affect you? Do you affect the plan of God in the earth? Some can't even say yes to that. If you hesitate on that, then there is a little work that needs to be done. Do you ever see a gigantic puzzle? 1,000-piece puzzle? You work and work and work and work and work and work and finally get it done after 2-3 weeks working on the thing. And there's a hole missing. Something out of place. Well, that's how it is sometimes with us. We have the big gaping hole missing on the inside of us because we don't have it settled. We got to settle it. He wants you, your little piece in the puzzle. Amen. He's got a gigantic picture mapped out. And every one of us are a piece in that picture. Every one of us have a place in the body of Christ. Every one of us have an anointing and a grace. Every one of us have a purpose on this earth. Amen. Yeah, but I'm not called to ministry. Maybe you are, maybe you're not. Does it make a difference if you're called to ministry or not? Absolutely not. If you're in the body of Christ, then you have a place in the body of Christ. Amen. You have a purpose. Every joint supplies. What happens if this joint stops supplying? And I walk through life like this. Makes it a little difficult when I want to get something. Right? I like that this joint works. I like that it supplies like it does. Amen? But if that joint's not supplying, there's a difficulty between my hand and my shoulder. Right? It's going to hinder the way my body functions. It's going to hold me back in some ways. I'm not going to have liberty to move the way I want to because the supply that's supposed to be here has been cut off, and now I'm hindered from the freedom and movement in my body. And that's how the body of Christ is. When we don't see our value and worth and purpose, we don't see the big picture that God's painted. We don't see our piece of the puzzle that's in there. But every one of us is valued by God. Every one of us is significant to God. Amen. So we need to value ourselves. We need to come up a bit and begin. At one point I couldn't even look in the mirror. Couldn't. I'd throw my makeup on and get out of there as fast as I could because I hated what I saw. I didn't see anything of value or worth there. I didn't like what I looked like. It's the way it was. When you hate yourself, you don't see any value. Doesn't matter what you look like. You've been so deceived that when you look, you don't see what others see. You don't see what God sees. You have a distorted image, a distorted picture of what's there. And it's deception. So we need to be careful. Amen. And you need to maybe take a step back. Meditate. So it's a little blue and white book in Him. What does God say about you? Amen. You can never spend too much time on that. Because I think all of society has beat one another down, and we've beaten ourselves down. And the thing that hurts us the most and hurts our faith the most is when we think we're not valuable, we're not worthy. Why would God bless me? Why would God honor me? Why should He do this for me? I'm not good enough. I'll never measure up. And we talk ourselves out of the blessings and the benefits that God has for us. And we're not our own little island because it's not just for us. Right? I've got something for you. You've got something for me. Amen. And we got to begin to see and to recognize that each part of us plays a significant part in the body of Christ, in the plan, the purpose that God has. Amen? So, 7:30. And I didn't get any further than where I was last time. How'd I do that? What's that? You get what you need. All right. Well, I'm going to give you one more, just so we can say we've gotten a little further. So we left off with Mark 1, 40 and 41. So we're going to pick up with Mark 9, 14 through 29. Where? There it is. So the first question that was asked was what? What did the leper? If you are willing, if you're, he had to have that answered. And you have to have that answered in your life. Is he willing? You know, the biggest answer to that is he looking at what he's already done. Is he willing? He already came from the throne of God. He came to this earth. He laid aside his deity. He became flesh. Amen. He walked out this life. People spat on him, tried to kill him. Amen. Yeah, he suffered persecution while walking this earth. He was beaten. Amen. Ripped, torn, shredded. Amen. Stabbed and hung, crucified. Was he willing?
Yes.
Is he willing?
Yes.
That enemy ever throws those thoughts, just look at what he's done already. If he would not withhold his own son, he's not going to withhold from you. All the promises of God are what? Maybe, if I feel like it. Oh, that's pretty positive. Amen. I like that. These question marks that crop up that the enemy likes to toy with us. Is he willing? Will he do it? Does he want to? We got to eradicate them. We just got to erase them. There's no question in God's mind about your value and worth and what he's already covered for us. Okay, 9. Jumped ship here. Love it when it changes chapters on you. Okay, verse 14, Mark 9. And when he came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude about them, and the scribes questioning them. And straightway all the people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed, and running to him, saluted him. And he asked the scribe, "What question ye with them?" And one of the multitude answered and said, "Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which has a dumb spirit. And whithersoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and foameth, and gnasheth his teeth, and pineth away." So he's skin and bones. I mean, can you imagine? He's having seizures. He's foaming at the mouth. It's a bad situation. "And I spake to the disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. And he answered him and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him, and when he saw him straightway, the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. And he asked his father, How long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, Of a child. And oft times it cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him." Now here's the question he had. "But if thou can do anything, have compassion on us and help us." Why would they ask that question? Jesus was pretty upset with his disciples, wasn't he? He answered them and said, "Oh, faithless generation, how long shall I put up with you? How long am I going to have to deal with you?" In other words, they should have understood that they'd already been given authority. They could have done something. Amen. But because they didn't, then this man is questioning, can you do something? And that's a sad thing for the body of Christ, that there are many people that question, can God do anything? Because we failed to present him. He's given us his name. He's given us his power and his authority. He's already done everything. And he says, now you go. Just like he sent them out. Didn't he send them out two by two? Didn't he send them out to heal the sick? To cast out devils? Didn't he tell us in Mark 16 we're supposed to do the same? Didn't he get upset with them when they didn't? Why? Because they should have been able to. But what it did was leave a big question mark in that man's head about whether or not God, Jesus, could do anything. We need to understand something here. He has well equipped us. He has anointed us. The anointing is his ability. It's his equipment. It's his power. Amen. And he's put that on the inside of us. So how do you activate anything but by faith? We have to begin to believe that the greater one is in us, and greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. These aren't just nice little church words that float off our lips, but this is a truth that we need to grab hold of and begin to walk out. Amen? And because, like I said, we're not just a little island unto ourselves. We're affecting the world. People are forming their opinion of who God is by what we live and how we say. But he's equipped us. And then he gave us authority in my name. Amen. He sent us forth in his name to carry this thing out. Amen. So oftentimes it's cast him in the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou can do anything, do what? Have compassion on us. That's where we started out last week. Compassion of God. And we found out that compassion is not pity. Pity, your heart goes out and you feel bad towards somebody. Oh, I'm so sorry. But what is compassion? There's action tied to it. There's deliverance tied to it. There's healing tied to it. There's provision tied to it. Amen? So, Jesus' response to him was that. The Father says, if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And Jesus said to him, verse 23, if you can believe... If you can believe, this is still his response to all of us today. If you can believe, all things are possible to him that believes. How many things? That's another one of those all-inclusive words, isn't it? How many things? How many things? Do you believe that? That's a good word. Amen. All things are possible to who? Him who believes. That means there's a responsibility, a requirement on our part. Our part is simply believe. Believe what? That our God is everything he said he is. That he'll do everything he said he'll do. He's already done everything concerning healing. It's accomplished. It's a redemptive fact. It belongs to us. Amen. It's ours. Amen. And straightway, the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. It hit him. All of a sudden, it hit him. So I believe. And yet there was humility in the man. If I'm not getting it all, help my unbelief. Amen? Too many times with us, there's pride. Oh, I know that. I know that. I've been in here for 14 years listening to this stuff. I know that. What does that do? It just cuts off your ability to learn anymore. Pride just stops it all. Don't ever get to the place where you think you know it all. No matter how many times you've heard it, keep your heart open. Keep your heart wide open. I believe. Help my unbelief. God, I see you, but I want to see you fully. Amen? Because until we see him face to face, when we come to that place where we see him face to face, it says then we'll be like him. Then all revelation, all the veil is going to come off of everything. Until then, we see through a glass darkly. Amen? So we're just seeing a little bit clouded right now, but as we draw closer, he's revealing more and more. We live in a spirit of the spirit of seeing and knowing. Revelation, things are being unfolded at a greater rate than ever before. So if you're hungry for the things of God, if you're hungry for the word of God, he's going to be revealing to you. Amen. If you seek and you will find. Amen. So it's a matter of God. Well, God, just dump it on me. You just sit there and wait for it to be dumped on you. There's an active part that you're seeking. You're hungering. Amen. You're pursuing him. It's not just a one-sided relationship. He's done it all. Therefore, we have it all. Yeah, we have it all, but there's an interaction. It's why he created us to begin with, is the interaction. Amen. We draw near to him. We commune with him. Amen. We have an expectation of faith that when we sit with him in his presence, he's going to unveil. He's going to show us things to come. Amen. He's going to lead us and direct us. He's going to help us with everything we need to know. And when Jesus saw the people coming, they running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying to him, Thou deaf and dumb spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter him no more. Amen. Praise God. Well, again, compassion and mercy. But with both of those things, there's also some questions that had to be answered. And there's questions that we need to deal with in our own life. Amen. Settle it. For me, it wasn't a, okay, one-time teaching and I'm done from here on forever. It's something I had to chew. You ever get a good piece of meat? Oh, it might be tasty. But sometimes a little tough. You got to chew and chew and chew and chew. Can't swallow that thing until you've chewed on it for 20 minutes. Amen. Oh, I like the tender little morsels that go down soft, but we don't always get them. Sometimes it takes us the meatier the meat. Sometimes you have to chew on it a while. Amen. And every little chew, you're getting a little bit of flavor. There's a little bit that comes out with it. You know, it's not that you're wasting your time. But some things need to be chewed on. And for me, finding out who I was in Christ. I still have to meditate on it. Why? Because something will happen and the enemy starts throwing those fiery darts my direction, and those thoughts come that challenge what the Word of God says about my righteousness and who I am in Christ. And if I give place to that at all, it unsettles me and I question, I slip over into that. Well, I'm getting quicker now. When that little bit of unsettling comes in, I'm stopping it. Used to hit me and I'd be there for days or weeks sometimes. And now sometimes it's just minutes. But I'm believing I'm going to overcome where I don't even... Amen. It doesn't matter what somebody says or does to me. I'm solid in who I am in Christ, and I'm going to be firm in that. And I'm not going to be moved by anything. Why? Because He paid a price, and He loves me, and He sees me valuable, and He's given me purpose, and He's provided everything I have need of. Therefore, I can receive it with gladness and joy, and I don't have to beg or plead or manipulate my way into anything. I got it because He gave it, because He loves me. Amen. Isn't He a good God? He's so faithful. So very, very faithful. Praise God. Well, does anybody need healing ministered tonight or any prayer for anything? Otherwise, we're going to close. Father, we just thank You. We thank You for Your goodness, and we thank You for your great provision. And Father, we do pray that You'd open the eyes of our understanding, that we truly would know the hope of our calling in Christ Jesus, that we would come into the depths of understanding of that love You have for us and the value You've put on us. And Father God, I pray that each and every one of us would begin to hunger as never before for that intimate, living, loving relationship that You've designed for us. Thank You for Your goodness. Thank You for Your mercy. Thank You for Your compassion that You're continuously showing to us. Thank You for the stripes on Jesus that bore penalty for our sin, paid for our disease. Oh, we give You praise and honor and glory. Thank You for washing us from all guilt and shame and condemnation. Thank You that we're free from the hand of the enemy, that whom the Son sets free is free indeed, that we are not bound by any lies or deceptions, but we are free in Christ Jesus. We give You praise and honor and glory for it, Lord. Be magnified through each life here. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, next week is 4th of July, so we won't have healing school next week. And the following week is camp meeting, so we will have an awesome time at camp meeting. So that's the 3 weeks before healing school. I don't remember. I got it written down somewhere, but I don't know if it's Jeff or Ecom. Amen.